Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
I am doing well. How was the bye week? Saw you guys, were able to get some official visits in, things like that.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was always good to get guys in and be a part of it and give them a chance to see all around Memphis. Having two bye weeks this season, has allowed to one more extra recruiting weekend, and that's always a good thing. Where we get, whether it's a transfer or these high school kids, an opportunity. Some are coming back for a second time or the first time ever seen it, and it's an easy place to showcase.
Now, I don't know how much you can say, but what are we able to do for those guys? I remember back in the day, we Texas Day Brazil, a little bit get them around town. I don't know where they're staying these days. It ain't the Holiday Inn anymore. It's sad. I know the Holiday Inn's no longer.
After we show them, we go through, spend about 6 hours going through your awards and plaques and trophies.
I don't know if you guys have like copies made, but I have some of those at the house. I can bring them by if you want.
No, we keep them in the archives, behind with security.
Nice.
After we spend multiple hours going over your accolades, then we
good deal.
I think there's just so many things to show, right? I think the stadium construction at night, it just lights up and it's beautiful, right? We got these apartments being built on South Campus. Just so many things going on. And, we will try to take them downtown. Showing the Bass Pro, it's so unique.
You're right.
Or downtown at night just lights up, especially this time of year. So, the opportunity to showcase as much as we can. Some of these visits are less than 24 hours, so you get them in, get them out. But, everybody comes here saying, wow, what a special, special place.
Yeah, apartments on South Campus. What did I miss? What's going on there?
Yeah, the old military barracks, and I was always grateful for the history, but one of those things that sat right here on our South Campus, those had been removed about 2 years ago and flattened out and left a lot of empty space. So we always thought that housing opportunities for all students, not just student
right.
athletes, on this campus would be great. And it's one of those deals, the most recent dorms prior to that had been about 11 years ago. So a new, fresh deal, and student athletes and students alike will have the opportunity to live in apartment-style dorms right here on South Campus. So you can imagine if you're a football player, you're literally just walking right down the sidewalk to get to your facility. No different, right? Basketball. You step 10 feet and you're in the parking lot of the basketball facility, softball. It's going to be great. Think about this, even for nursing students with their nursing center right there.
Right.
What a wonderful opportunity. So they're going up, and they'll be done hopefully. You never want to get quoted on it, but they should be done by July.
Yeah. Now, I know the recruiting calendar is that where you have to do things like this at the end of the year. You have to worry about your own roster. And I know, like, there's a lot of conversation right now around the CFP and coaches potentially leaving. Lane Kiffin's a guy that's out there that may not coach Ole Miss through the CFPs. John Sumrall at Tulane, a conference mate there, may not coach his team through the CFP. Obviously, it's subject to change. We'll see what happens. But there's a conversation about the calendar and what could happen with the recruiting calendar going forward. I just want to ask you your opinion. Is there any way to change it to where things like this, decisions like this, won't have to be made by coaches that may leave their current spot?
Well, you know, the signing day is early December, and that is now considered the early signing day, which, as we know, 90% of high school student athletes will sign that time. They've made December dead, so it used to be a lot more hectic when, you know, you had transfers, you know, people opting out bowl games. I think a lot of that's gone away. So they, you know, the calendar, again, as I go back, this was 6 years the head coach, the calendar has not been the same a single year that I've been the head coach. So, you know, hey, let's plan for, now it's going to change. So as a head coach, you always want to be as organized as you can. You know, there have been talks about making a signing day in the summer, but okay, sure. So say you sign a kid July 8th, okay, he's committed. Well, then that coach gets fired in September. Like, well, does that kid get automatically enter the portal
right
January 2nd? I mean, it's just, there's just so many unknowns. High school coaches are obviously leery of a kid signing a scholarship to a major Division I place and then sitting out his senior year or rolling an ankle and saying, you know what, I just don't want to risk it anymore, or having a losing season. You know, some of the stuff we see in college football. And so there's so many ups and downs and debates on these things. I don't think there's a right answer. As long as there's this crazy industry and everything that's going on, I don't know if there's a right answer for what this calendar should look like. We've just right. finally settled on one portal window. And
you just wanted to stay the same for a year.
Hey, this same calendar, I can copy and paste, move it a day forward, and that will look like next year.
Yeah, and I've always wondered, like, I just don't know if it's possible to push back. I don't know when semesters start around the country, but at the University of Memphis, how does that look with trying to get guys enrolled and in classes and, you know, into school before deadlines hit?
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of it, right? Like, the transfer portal opens on January 2nd, okay, and classes start for Memphis on the 20th, right? And so, but it closes on the 16th. You know, some of these schools, you know, I think down in Tallahassee, like, they've always started on, like, January 5th. Well, you know, if they can't get a kid in after the 12th, you know, it's just so unique, right? You got some of these quarter system schools that may not start till the end of January, early February. Now, you know, it's a different dynamic, and every school is going to be different, dealing with its own challenges as we go forward with this. It's going to be quite interesting. I'm also, you know, this, we could debate this for hours. Okay, not including the incoming freshmen and not including seniors that have left for graduation, right, to go pursue career or NFL opportunities. How many kids in college football and Division I rosters, 136 rosters, are going to go into the portal? You know, not the incoming freshmen and not the seniors. I mean, my guess is probably 35%, 40% of all rosters. I mean, right. So you're looking at, I mean, massive amounts of combing through film. You know, kids will be announcing during bowl games and, you know, all that stuff. It's just going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you have to have all hands on deck in a football facility these days. Now, with the bye week, what was the practice schedule and how are the guys responding? Obviously, it was a tough couple of weeks before the bye week. How have they responded to that adversity and just sort of looking at their sort of mental makeup going into the final game of the season here against Navy?
Yeah, you know, people, when we talked, like, what was their thought process, you know, even heading to East Carolina? Had they thrown in the towel? Had they, I mean, I don't think anybody sat there and watched that game and said, wow, the kids have quit. No, right? I mean, they bowed their tails off. We fell short. And as much as it pains us and frustrates us, there's no quitting these kids. There's no bend, hey, we're not going to work as hard. You know, what's the point? These guys understand it and have had a tremendous attitude and approach to this whole thing. Yes, our long-term goal, we fell short of it, and, you know, and that's disappointing. But at the same point, we still have something to play for, right? The opportunity to still play for a 10-win season, right? Get the 9th win this regular season, opportunity to go out strong at home and win one for these seniors in their last game at the Liberty Bowl. And so they've been great. Right? Credit to them, their mindset, the way they work, the way they've attacked it every single day. Anybody that's come out and watched practice, you'd think we're playing for the Super Bowl. And guess what? They've been that way since late July, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. They've done a great job of trying to prepare the right way. through the ups and downs of the season.
All right, now what's the status for Brendan Lewis going into this game on Thursday? Full go, ready to participate. I heard from you earlier this week.
I don't know if he's been full go since halfway through the year, but he's gonna. The plan is for him to get the start, and hopefully he can continue to battle. Right, we know that ankle has been kind of bothering him all the way through, really about the middle of the season on. And anybody that watched the first six games, say, wow, he's really fluid in his movements, and he's chipped up just like a lot of the guys. We've had some more injuries, which we won't go into, but. Listen, sure. He's a tough young man that we're going to throw him out there, and he's going to do a great job trying to lead us to a victory.
Now, when it comes to sort of the play calling and the idea behind your game plan week to week, how much has that injury affected how you guys can deploy him and deploy the offense? Right. We know the ankle's been an issue. You guys had a lot of read option concepts early in the year where you give him the opportunity to keep it, tuck it, and run. Has that been affected pretty drastically with the ankle issues he's been working through?
To an extent, right? I also, you talk to some of these teams and, hey, why did you guys change? You ask them, like, hey, we just defense corner, why'd you change your game plan? Well, and some will say, Bielu's not as effective running, so we figured – we're going to drop eight, or hey, he's not as effective running. It's funny, two different coordinators. Well, we were going to blitz the heck out of you because and challenge him to throw because he wasn't as mobile. So, the part of that is what are teams doing to us, and how are they trying to attack us in a variety of different ways?
Yeah. Now, Navy, we know what look they're going to throw at you. Now they've switched it up since they've gotten a new coach in there, Brian Newberry. They will get into shotgun every once in a while, whether it's third down and medium, third down and long, and they'll try to throw it around a little bit. But what do you see from them this year? And last year it was a struggle. Your defense had some struggles with their new look. How much have you guys learned from that game, taking it into Thursday?
Yeah, we've learned quite a bit. Obviously it was one of those. They were had a bye prior to us, and we had studied them in the offseason. We'd studied where Drew Connick, their offense corner, came from at the previous spot as a head coach, and they ran something completely different, and credit to them. And you can see it's a different style offense. It's having a lot of success, right? We saw them put up all those points for South Florida. Really ran away with the game early, and South Florida fought back. And Navy's putting up a ton of points again this year. But it starts with the quarterback, and look, even their backup went in and has had success. They are able to throw it. So, we got to be smart, as always, with those triple option teams, whether it's gun under center, with motions, it's being able to trust our eye discipline and tackle well.
Now, something I was at least posed last year around the time you guys played Navy is, I think there was this assumption going into like the big portal era, the NIL era, that they would lag behind, struggle with recruiting. But it hasn't really showed itself that way, because I think that the idea that I was told, talked with Brian Newberry on my podcast last year, and he said they've gotten higher level sort of high school recruits and been able to develop them a little bit more than they have in the past. How much of that have you seen from sort of their roster, like the types of guys they're getting in compared to the guys they used to get in the past? It's a little bit different for them, but I think the assumption was, okay, NIL era and transfer portal era, they may lag behind, but it hasn't been that way for Navy.
Well, I think you look, who won the conference last year? Army, right?
Right.
And, we didn't get a chance to play them in the regular season, but, they had a quarterback that was an absolute stud, and they had a lot of success last year. Army's first year in the conference, and they win it. Navy is rolling through it. When I first got to Memphis, right, Navy was the top team in the conference, right? I think Navy and, I believe it was Temple were playing for the conference championship when I first got into this conference a long time ago. And so, look, they're able to go get, maybe there's some high school guys that aren't getting the offers to the Stanfords and, some of those Northwesterns, and now are ending up at Army and Navy. And oh, by the way, they're staying there, because you don't choose to go to one of our great military institutions and serve our great country unless you've got the right reasons. And so these young men are sitting there saying, they're not just pledging for 4 years, right? They're pledging a commitment to serve, and so much respect for them. But you know, they're not having to have the conversations with the kid.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have. There's going to be some freshmen that played for us that next week. You know, they're going to come in my office and ask for more money, and I've got to make the decision whether we can pay them or they got to go. And it's no different. I mean, we've had agents hitting us up, you know, for months on end on a guy that, yo, this guy had three catches, you know, are you going to pay him or should he go to Ole Miss? And you sit there and say, well, listen, it's the nature of it, and they're not having to deal with that. And so credit to them. They've been able to do a great job. And, yeah, look, it is what it is. We know they're always going to play disciplined and tough, and they always have. So they're doing a fantastic job, and it's certainly continued to show.
All right, now, like, when we look at, like, recruiting your roster going into next season, like, how much of a percent of your roster does that sort of apply to that you just sort of brought up with agents and, you know, trying to retain them? Because that's a big thing in college football these days.
Well, every single kid.
100%.
Right? Every single player on our roster. It's gotten the debate. I mean, right? I mean, it's like every time you hear a kid, if he continues to miss study hall, well, he'll no longer be a part of the roster.
Right.
And you have agents that with kids that have never played down of football threatening to transfer, you know, and it is what it is. That's where we're at. And I get it. And so it's part of it. You know, you sit there and say, you wish you could maybe wait till later on, you know, after the season. But here, guess what? It's college football. And that's why we have front office people, and we have a recruiting department and general manager that we try to assist with some of this stuff, because, you know, listen, we're trying to find ways to stop the triple option and not figure out if we can give Johnny $10 more. But hey, welcome to this new era, and we don't look at it as challenges. We look at it as opportunities. And, you know, we want to hopefully keep the guys that want to be a part of this thing.
All right, now, final thing. You already brought it up, like those long-term goals. They're off the table, but at the same time, you guys still have a chance to beat Navy, win a bowl game, get to 10 wins for three straight seasons. Now, I know there's a lot of fans that have their frustrations. And in the end of the day, like, what always has to be, you know, remembered is that, like, the goals that the team has, the fans have the same goals. They want the same things. Everybody wants to see success for the University of Memphis. Everyone wants to see an American Conference title. Everybody wants to see a CFP berth. So what kind of message would you deliver to those fans that sit there, that are frustrated at this point going into the final week of the season?
Sure, yeah. I'm glad they're frustrated. Like I say all the time, I'm so glad we got this program to the point where fans are frustrated with the opportunities maybe to have three straight 10-win seasons, because we haven't delivered, right? We have not delivered the championships as of late, and we've got to do a better job. That was the goal, and we didn't deliver, and so I understand completely, and I appreciate that. And look, we're working tirelessly. I can promise you that we're going to continue to try to build this roster the right way and coach them the right way. And so every opportunity, we give ourselves a chance to try to win, not just win football games, but win championships. And so, listen, we appreciate those that are being positive and supportive, and those that are frustrated, completely understand, and they have the right to be. Listen, no one's more pissed off about this whole thing than me, but I come to work with my head held high, and so do our players, and knowing we got work to continue to do. And we're going to work our tails off to beat Navy and continue the preparation, and then win whatever bowl game we're asked to play, put together a fantastic roster, work hard this offseason, and set the same goals and try to improve and be even better next year. And that's the kind of goals we continue to set for ourselves. Look, you hear it all the time. I got to hear Coach Klieman at Kansas State talk about
right.
it. And, you know, it's part of it. It's the of what this whole thing is. And again, I'm so glad that we've elevated this program. You know, we've had this conversation before, right? Where
right.
Justin Fuente was talked about firing him, you know, 2 years prior to me getting here. And people were, again, where this program was heading. But we've elevated it, and I'm glad we've been maybe I've had a slight part of the elevation of this program. But listen, it's all about delivering championships, and I certainly understand that as much as anybody.
All right, now, final thing, coaching carousel spinning, and I guess this is my my best attempt at gotcha journalism, although I don't think I will. Are we going to see more Ryan Silverfield going into this offseason and going into next year, 2026?
Listen, I'm thrilled that, you know, anytime that first off, I'm thrilled to be the head coach here. It's the job I have, and I'm working tirelessly to beat Navy. And anytime my name gets mentioned, again, it's a credit to players like you that, you know, that poured into this program, this great community, our current roster, the staff. It's a credit to all those people. But our focus 1,000% is this Thursday night and the challenges ahead.
I hear you. Well, Coach, I'll let you roll. Good luck coming up on Thursday. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Gabe.
Yes, sir. He is Ryan Silverfield, head coach over at the University of Memphis, on X at R Silverfield. Tigers will be in action. Final game of the regular season on Thursday against Navy. It was a tough one last year. Gave up a lot of points. We'll see what they do to mitigate that going into this year's matchup. Now let's go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.